With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We want to try to focus and shine a light on the names that you might not think about when it comes to Memphis Sports Hall of Famers. So we put our heads together, and you can certainly submit. Now again, we're doing this in the spirit of people that may have gotten, you know, over the years overlooked or forgotten about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who still had great contributions to the Memphis sports scene. Whether it was here, whether they're from here and did it somewhere else, you know, we don't discriminate in that sense. It doesn't necessarily have to have happened in the city of Memphis, as long as that person is from Memphis or spent time in Memphis or however you want to look at it. So,
I like the groundwork you've laid there.
If you want to submit some nominations to us and just to play along during the show, please feel free to do that. Jason, your name is first on the show. Please begin.
Oh, well, I think there's an obvious one. And I'm very familiar with him because as a longtime preps writer at the Commercial Appeal, it was like a Bible, Keith Gentry's book on high school basketball. You guys know Keith Gentry. He's the longtime, basically high school sports historian around here. In that book is a special list, and it is a list of some great players, and it is organized by highest scoring players in Shelby Metro history. That's the list. It's the highest scores we've ever had. And at the top of that list, it was always a list I was watching, because Joe Jackson, you'll remember at White Station, was a guy who was climbing that list. We've had many greats. Tony Harris,
yep,
is top 10, many on that list. And at the top of it was a guy who I did not get to see play because he was before my time, and he played at Melrose High, and many of our listeners hopefully will know. His name was Bobby Smith, and he went by the name Bingo. That's because at Tulsa, when he got there after a great career at Melrose, there were two Bobby Smiths on the team. And so that's where he got the name Bingo. This guy, I don't know if you know, for those of us that, for our young listeners, played at Tulsa, we're talking back in the late 60s, 66 yep. to 69. He was a first-round draft pick in the NBA draft, all-time leading scorer around here in high school history, scored over 3,000 points, again, ahead of all the greats. Had his number retired by the Cleveland Cavaliers, his number 7, and he's still 73 years old, and I'm pretty sure he's up there living. John, at some point, we should think about trying to get him on the show. This is a no-brainer to me.
Yes.
And I think some other people have mentioned it. In terms of numbers and points, best we've ever seen in a Memphis high school uniform. Again, Bobby Bingo Smith was as good as it got. I've asked some of the some of the folks I go to when it comes to folks before me that saw some of the greats, you know, like Finch on a high school court or Johnny or Newman or in this case, Bingo Smith, and they all tell me, man, he was a stud. And again,
yes,
you're talking about a guy, when I talk about retired number at the Cleveland Cavaliers, well, there's got to be a reason, right? You're right, guys?
Yep.
There is. He's scored over 10,000 points in the NBA, one of the highest-scoring Memphis-born guys to make the NBA. And so you would have to put him on that list of Hall of Famers. Best high school player in terms of points scored we've ever seen.
I think that's perfect. I think that's absolutely
perfect. That's legit.
I mean, I agree completely. I mean, I think given everything that he accomplished, he's got to be in that conversation. No question about it. I agree completely. He'll be on it.
Thank you.
He'll be on it.
How about a round of applause for Bobby Bingo Smith?
I'll give it up.
Because he should be in this thing. And, John, we need to try to get him on the show.
I think he's still
up there in Cleveland living up there.
Make it happen, Captain.
I will. I'm going to do my best.
All right. Bennett, you got anybody you would like to
submit? Yeah, I've actually got a couple good ones, I believe. But, again, we're doing obscure Memphis sports figures.
Yeah, not the obvious.
Yeah,
the obvious
nothing
ones
obvious
we know
here. These are all obscure.
Well, yeah.
One that stands out is definitely I just wanted to say this guy, obviously, he's not obscure, but who deserves it is definitely Ike Bruce. Like, he deserves to get in. You know, he was about to get into the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, and we're waiting to see, or the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we're waiting to see if that ends up happening or not. But if he's obviously always on the consideration list for that, like, he 100% belongs in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. So that's
no
one
question.
I just wanted to throw out there. But another one to mention, and I want to give a thanks to my friend Ron Hall. Ross Grimsley pitched 11 years in Major League Baseball, graduated from Fraser High School, had a had a 124-99 record, won two games for the Cincinnati Reds in the 1972 World Series, and then had 20 wins with the Montreal Expos in 1978. So he's got a pretty big-time Major League Baseball career with World Series wins. So I think that's, if you're trying to have some kind of Major League Baseball connection, he's an obvious choice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Nicely done.
Honestly, we just got the submission, but I think it's an absolutely perfect one, and it's from Trey. Ronnie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Robinson, who, you know, you think back to that 73 team, Larry Finch, Larry Keenan, Ronnie. I mean, honestly, all three of those guys could go in, to be honest with you. But Larry Finch and Ronnie Robinson specifically, right? We know Larry's getting in. But for what they did in terms of, you know, racial healing and doing their part from, you know, a society standpoint, going to Memphis back when, you know, that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Memphis kids did.
Yeah, a lot
back
of folks
then.
Wanted Larry to leave.
And those two stayed. You know, Memphis was in turmoil back in that time. You know, I mean, you're healing and you're trying to heal, and the civil rights movement is still very fresh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for those guys to have stayed home and to have led the team to the success that they did, really responsible in many ways for the love affair that we see today with Memphis Tiger basketball. And it's a large part due to the fact that those two decided to stay in Memphis. And so I definitely think that, you know, Larry, of course, is getting in, no question about it. Don't even have to think about it.
I like that you singled Ronnie out, because you'd think you'd put that whole team in there.
Yes.
But Ronnie and Larry both, I mean, obviously.
And I think Larry Keenan you'd put in there, too.
I'm happy with that.
You could.
I'm happy with Larry Keenan. I mean, you know, you could just, you know, commemorate that entire team, you know.
Yep.
Gene Bartow.
They
right?
all, yeah.
I mean, Gene Bartow's got to go on.
I figured he's on some obvious ones.
Yeah, because, I mean, listen, the first championship appearance and the only championship appearance that technically counts in the record books for the University of Memphis, you know, back then Memphis State, you know, his role and his involvement with the Grizzlies later in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think Gene Bartow definitely goes on this list. So I think Ronnie Robinson is a perfect pick, and I know he's probably not a guy. He passed in 2004, so I know he's probably not a guy who is as fresh in people's minds. But I agree completely. I think that's absolutely beautiful. I think it's perfect for this Hall of Fame. Now there are some other ones that are a little bit more controversial that we've already butted heads about, and frankly, I have a little bit of a problem with it, because Ric Flair was born in Memphis. Ric Flair was born in Memphis. He talks about it in his book.
Listen to the blanket huffing.
He talks about it in his book, Bennett.
What is wrong with having Flair in there?
If you go to his Wikipedia page, Bennett, that thing says born in Memphis, Tennessee. And yeah, maybe he doesn't rep Memphis like he's from here. But he was born here, and he's a 16-time world champion, and damn it. I mean, we can't honor that.
Okay, here's my problem with it. All right.
I mean, Jerry obviously has a higher place.
Well, first, you're getting Lance Russell, you're getting Dave Brown, you're getting Jimmy Hart in before him, because they're all connected to Memphis. Rick was born here, but he's not connected to Memphis. He's more connected to North Carolina.
I feel you on that.
But he's from here.
But he's got to be in there, though.
If you go and look at the list of famous athletes or just good athletes that were born here, dude, you're going to water down that thing so much.
No, you're not.
That's just crazy if you put every single athlete that was born in the city of Memphis that did anything relevant.
How dare you insinuate that a 16-time world champion, a 16-time world champion is just any athlete? How many 16-time world champions were born in Memphis?
Okay.
How many
times did he come back to Memphis to celebrate those championships? I mean,
he
again,
came back.
I love the Nature Boy.
The Grizzlies paid him, and he came back.
I love the Nature Boy. Don't get it twisted. I'm saying there is not this like big, deep connection with him in the city of Memphis.
And we're gonna build it. Okay. We're gonna build it by inducting him into the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame.
I'll believe it when he comes to the induction ceremony.
He
How
will.
About that? Okay.
As long as he's with us. Do you think Ric Flair should be in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame?
Yes, because he's from here in the career. Obviously, you've got your own wing for them. That's not putting him above Lawler, obviously. Yes,
you don't have to keep saying that. Nobody's saying
that. I
want to
make sure for all my – because my wrestling fans get the most triggered.
But that's
when I don't give Jerry his due.
Well, and
Jerry don't get his due.
I don't like watching him wrestle right now. All right? I know it's taboo to say.
Jerry?
Yes.
Well –
don't act like that's cool to say around here.
You know when he's inducted, he's going to have a wrestling
match. I get all kind of flack for it.
He's going to wrestle when he gets inducted.
No need.
He's going to do it.
Stop.
I want him to wrestle you.
You've done enough.
Would you wrestle Jerry Lawler?
For what?
For fun? for the exposure.
How am I going to come out of that? A loser.
Yeah, of course.
He's not going to agree to it unless he wins. So what in the world am I going to get into?
Why would Jerry Lawler let you win?
Am I going to let him pick my 165-pound tail up, Jason, try to throw me off that terrace level?
Jason thinks that Jerry Lawler should let him be the victor.
Enough of this, because I've got one more. Ralph Wiley. He's a wild card. He's a sports writer who went to Melrose. You guys talked about it.
Exactly,
you guys may
right.
remember this when we yep. talked to Woody Page, who's a former colleague of Ralph Wiley's over at ESPN. Ralph would be on the sports reporters. You'd see him there. This was a guy, one of the best writers to come out of Memphis, a guy who went to Melrose High School, attended Knoxville College, went on to die too soon, basically. And I get emotional talking about it because my dad gets emotional talking about it. He's the one that turned me on to Ralph Wiley and the fact that he was from Memphis and went to Melrose High. And, again, journalist and writer who died far too young, I think at the age, I'm looking at it now, 52 in 2004. He was actually watching Game 4 of the yep. of the 2004 Finals, and one of the guys my dad told me to look up to. You want to be a sports writer? Go read Ralph Wiley. And you know, he didn't track again. Played high school sports at Melrose. Wasn't one of the guys you find on the lists of great high school athletes, but he was great in covering sports, and I think he should be on the
on
the list.
Big time sports writer. Covered boxing and
Sports Illustrated.
You know, did it all. Yep. Absolutely, I think that's an absolutely commendable selection. This was good. Charlie Pride, I learned today, played for the Memphis Red Sox.
Man, I don't think I knew that.
And he won. He won some awards in the Negro League. Like yep. I'm pretty sure an all selection. He was an all selection pitcher. You know, I mean, this is of course before he went on to become a famous country singer, but...
My dad's got a joke that he and Charlie are probably the only black dudes in country music radio until your man has come about here, Nas X.
that's right. They took him off.
Yeah, my dad was first. I know you're trying to follow that. I was a little fast. My dad started his career as a country music DJ in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Oh, wow.
That was his big breaking into quote-unquote media. Yeah,
that's
awesome. They needed black folks.
Let's
on radio
put Les
back
Smith
then.
In the Memphis Sports Hall.
And so
of
him and Charlie Pride, the only black guys in, but not anymore because of John and Nas X.
Les Smith.
We've had many since.
Stood outside of a door for 24 hours straight.
He also did country music radio at one point.
Should
in
we not put
70s.
Him? We should at least name one of the doors in the Hall of Fame after him. The Les Smith front door.
He was a nomad. If he'd stayed, if he'd stayed at one place as long as Joe and Jarvis and all those folks. Maybe, but I'm not sure that, you know, Dad worked for all. Maybe because he worked for all of them. He may be the only guy.
Well, I think...
we don't need him in there.
I think... I just want to name the door after him. Can we do that? That'd be a nice little nod.
Little comedy section of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, of the museum.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't have to be comedy, but...
Yeah, you can run a video of it. You can just run that loop video of it of him standing out there. Like, it'll be like he's still there.
It is. It's like...
You could just run that in a section.
John Stamos
just go there and laugh.
At Graceland.
Yeah,
you know?
People just go there and laugh and feel good.
That's what you want. Mm-hmm. You want people to have joy.
He's still watching.
This has been great. This has been absolutely fantastic.
We did learn some things.
I've really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame develops
it's
over the years.
It's going to be great. I love the idea.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.